Hello, and welcome to Ubuntu AI Podcast. I'm Andrea, and together with Maciek, we will be your hosts. From fun experiments to enterprise projects, AI became the center of attention when it comes to innovation, digital transformation, and optimization.
Open source technologies democratized access to state-of-the-art machine learning tools and opened doors for everyone ready to embark on their AI journey. Ubuntu AI will be your guide in the industry where a community of like-minded people meet to make an impact.
Here we are, Maciek, the beginning of the second season of Ubuntu AI Podcast. It really started as probably a side project that we had fun talking about AI and so on. But in the end, we recorded 12 episodes last year. What are your thoughts? How do you feel after that many discussions between the two of us, with some of our guests?
Well, you make it very scary because it sounds like you want to make it professional.
I think the podcast is growing and it's maturing, of course. But there is something that I enjoy in the free type of conversations that we have. And I would not like to change it.
Yeah, thanks to our guests, we have a lot of great learning opportunities because by what we do, we have access to a lot of amazing people that we can talk with. And for me, at least, it's a lot of insights and a lot of new things, and I learn a lot. So why not give that opportunity to other listeners, right?
I think you're raising a good point, and maybe we should thank our guests who joined us, as well as all our listeners who trusted us, who provided us feedback on how to improve the podcast, who shared it around the world such that our audience grows tremendously. Maciek, is there one episode that you would like to listen again from the last season?
Well, I don't like to listen to our episodes anyway. I find it weird to listening to my own voice. But the most interesting episode that we were doing last year, I think, was the one that we get to introduce Sima around like observability of the ML models and basically model monitoring and all the things related to like how to make sure that the infra is running correctly. There are a lot of things to consider right now around it, because the whole environmental impact of AI, both training and inference, the security of it, it gets a lot of exposure. People try to circumvent the guardrails that are there. So like a proper observability that at least gives you a feeling of what's happening with your system was super important. And having such a great expert as we had on the podcast was really educating.
I don't want to spoil it, but I know Sima is open to have a new episode with us. So maybe in this season, we get a chance to capture him again for another 45 minutes to discuss more. Another episode that I really liked was the one that we had with the CEO of Nextcloud, because we really discussed about the impact of AI in the day-to-day life of people, of employees. And I found it fascinating how, from having AI as a research focus area, it moved towards a technology, basically an innovative technology that is integrated in our day-to-day life. This is another episode that I like, but let's stop looking at the past. You can always find our episodes on all the main channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so on. And let's look at the next year and next season. And at the time when we record, it's still January. So my usual question, Maciek, is, what do you expect in 2024 from AI and this fast-moving landscape?
Well, currently, I think that there will be much more commercial and product use of the ML models in general in various different places. And thanks to the popularity of collaboration platforms, like Hugging Face is being integrated to all the major public clouds, like the GPT marketplaces that are popping up everywhere, and a lot of open source models being there, I think we'll see more and more people jumping into that and collaborating to build useful tools out of it. I also think that we will end up in a big ecosystem of various different LLMs collaborating with each other for our benefit, like the route of having a big one thing would be less popular. I think we are basically in something like an operating system space right now, right? Because if you run your computer, you have your macOS, you have your Windows, you have something like that. I think that that's what Andrei Karpathy was talking about last time, that you have the big players and you have the big players in LLMs like ChatGPT and so on, or Bard from Google and things like that. But you have a tons of these open source projects that are like Llama, Mistral and so on, also backed up by companies that people are using more and more and they experiment. And I think that this is the place where innovation will happen. And innovation is much faster in AI than in open source, like operating systems. So I think we'll see this getting huge speed up and a lot of people from a typical open source projects will jump on making more with open source LLMs. That's at least my prediction.
It doesn't happen often that we agree, but this time I completely agree with you. Maybe one thing that I would add is the idea of having AI on edge devices. I'm not sure how much you captured about it or how much you thought about it, but I would expect it to have a rise of those kind of applications this year. And with them, of course, there are going to be plenty of challenges that come in place. How do you actually do that? How do you productize that? How do you connect two areas that historically have not been working very closely together as well are going to probably come up and challenge us. And I like it that you also, Maciej, kind of captured some of our main themes for the next year. And I know you said you don't want any planning, but talking about AI on public cloud and how the clouds in general play a role, how are they going to be enablers, how they could be optimized, are going to be topics that I hope we are going to touch upon in the next year. But also there is something that excites me, which is related to the open source project. Since you mentioned some of them, this year we are going to be talking way more about open source projects from the AI world. From open source models to open source tools to frameworks, you call them. And we will try to have some special guests in our podcast. Maciej, is there anyone that you would really, really, really want to have as a guest or a project that you would really, really want as a guest in our podcast?
Well, I think it's from the huge impact perspective, it would be really interesting to talk with someone from the Hugging Faces team. Or, I don't know, someone around that kind of project or some other open source ecosystem of sharing the models, because it's interesting in various ways how they want to make it open, how to they want to make it accessible, but also efficient, because this scale of this whole endeavor will be growing very fast. And that's one area. And the other area would be talking with people who are building dedicated hardware for the AI at the edge that you have mentioned. These are the, like the two fun AI related parts. And about AI at the edge, I think that there is one interesting play there. I think that the whole running ML models, running LLMs and running inference on the distributed compute is actually not an MLOps problem or not a data engineer problem or not an AI problem. It's a network problem. And I think it would be also interesting to have a chat with some people responsible for networking and various ways of communication, like, I don't know, satellite communication, radio, telco people, and so on, and figure out how they want to modernize the infrastructure so that AI is actually accessible in those edges. And last but not least, I would very gladly talk with someone from the Spectra Cloud team, because they are building a really exciting and innovative way of how to use GPUs on Kubernetes, and their technical team would be an interesting type of guest on the podcast.
I see names are being thrown. You see that now our listeners are going to always remember this episode, and at the end of the season, they're going to call us out if we don't have the guests. Exactly. But I like your suggestions, and I'm sure, or I'm hopeful, I'm not sure, that we can find the guests that you just mentioned. Maciej, what about security? I think it's the first time when you didn't mention that many things about security. And if I think of the last gathering that we had with the company, we talked a lot about security on machine learning, confidential computing,
the security angle is super important, but it's also something that is hard to capture easily in a podcast manner. We'll for sure try to have episodes about it, but we'll have to dissect it into smaller topics because the security of ML is a very wide thing. There's first of all, tons of things that you can do to basically try to steer the model, to do things you want, even though it has certain guidelines. Like, I don't know, if you want to ask weird question to a ChatGPT, like how to build a bomb, you can just encode it in Base64 and then you will get an answer, even though you shouldn't. And that kind of things, that's one area. The other area is the security of the software that is running there, because actually running ML model on the device is not running some magical model package. We are in reality running tons of software, inference servers, and so on that device, and they need to be secure. There is tons of work around the data privacy and the fact that making sure that LLMs are not leaking the training sets that were used to train them. And that's also something that there are a lot of things around. And there is also security applications of ML models themselves. So basically automatically fixing CVEs, finding new CVEs and finding new zero days, having like a fully automated red team and blue team for exercisers, like various things around like security. It would be like basically a series of 6 or 8 episodes to cover all of that.
I was about to say, I almost feel that we can have an entire season on security for machine learning and we'd still have topics to discuss. But maybe we'll capture some of them and we can find some projects that have been focusing on that we can talk about. What do you think will be the main challenges that 2024 will bring to the AI space? If I look at the past year, I think at some point there was a lot of fear of missing out around AI that many companies felt. And then also a sentiment of overwhelming. Wherever you would go, whatever you would read, whatever you would do, you felt that you needed an AI strategy, you needed AI project, you needed something to show to the world. Whereas the truth is that there are not enough skills on the market, there are not enough people on the market, and often there are companies that maybe have other pressing issues rather than building the latest and greatest application, and they would just have a project that's behind the woods that still brings value to the company and their customers. So what are the challenges that you would see, you would expect in 2024?
I think that the main challenge currently will be the whole popularity of AI, because now every company is trying to basically build their own models and start getting ahead of their competition thanks to that. But the amount of companies that are interested is growing exponentially, and the amount of hardware that is being manufactured to like has enough accelerators to actually do it is growing linearly, and this does not match at all. So there will be a huge sort of fight for resources, I think, because there is a scarcity of resources where you can actually train the models, and more people want to do it. So that will be like a big challenge there. The second big challenge will be the security, because we already start seeing that a lot of threat actors and APT groups are targeting AI systems, both in terms of attacking them and also using them for malicious purposes, like spam campaigns and like info ops and that kind of thing. So that will be another area, like weaponizing the technology for bad things. And the third one would be actually the legal landscape around it. That would be also an interesting thing to talk with a lawyer that is specialized in that topic, like what's happening around the world, because every place has different regulations. Although people seem to forget that we have this thing called the internet, and actually the regulations that you put in one place on AI does not mean a lot, because people can use something that resides on the servers in some other remote location, and how to solve that and so on, that might be interesting.
Interesting. So I'll take them one by one. Going back to the initial point around hardware and compute power, do you think that there is going to be a higher demand for public clouds exactly because of that? Because that's my feeling. Since we need to wait 6 months to get a GPU, then we're going to...
Public clouds are buying from the same suppliers as people, right? So there is no... It cannot grow that fast also there. Like if you are a bigger company and you need to order, I don't know, a new dedicated region with 1,000 or 10,000 GPUs, it's not like that you can get it from a public cloud by tomorrow.
Fair enough. I mean, maybe Tnish was a bit naive, but I would expect to see some sort of a new innovative hardware approach or company that pops up in the market in the near future. I'm not sure if this year is going to be the year, but if you look at the workstations that Lambda Labs have, maybe there's going to be something similar on the hardware space as well that is going to kind of challenge the status quo. And then going to the security point, I was afraid you would not capture that because I would expect hackers to be smart and focus more on AI projects, especially because it's not that mature yet. So maybe it's more vulnerable as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, at least from a good guy perspective, being in like an army cyber detachment, we are, of course, utilizing tons of AI tools in our day-to-day job. I would assume that the bad guys are doing exactly the same. They are smart.
Maybe at some point we can have an episode on tools and applications that can be used in that space. Would be interesting. And then in terms of regulations, I remember at some point there was a panel conversation last year when I said AI is going to be a commodity very soon and that's why it needs regulations. Everyone jumped on me and they said, no, Andrea, AI is not going to be a commodity, which I still disagree. I think that in the near future it's going to be commoditized quite quickly. And I think the quicker we try to find ways to guide people for on how they should develop and how they should use this kind of technologies, the better it's going to be. My fear is that it's going to happen very similar to how GDPR has been developed, that depending on geography, it's very different. And then it just becomes extremely complicated and then people stay away from it.
I mean, I don't think so. It's giving too much of a competitive advantage that people will be stopped by regulations from using it. I mean, a lot of big companies have a way around working with regulations or around them. So I don't think that this will stop. This will actually hurt. The over-regulation will help the smaller players and new kids on the block because they will not be able to start, which is a bit sad.
Interesting. So you basically are telling me that regulations are going to slow innovation, with other words.
Well, they always do.
Patrick, I think we should have an episode where we debate this. For those who don't know us, we often have different opinions and we often fight about this topic. It's one of the topics that we fight about. There is another angle that I think is going to be big and challenging this year, and it's around sustainability. I think the more we go into the year and into artificial intelligence, the more there is going to be a need to ensure that we don't basically fry the planet using the latest and greatest technologies for that. And I think at the moment it's only spoken in some parts or in some markets, but it's going to become a normal or a usual topic.
Yeah, I think what would be really interesting would be to have a nice monitoring tools that can tell you actually how much energy you use. And there's tons of research happening right now about, for example, various programming languages. Like if you compare Python to Rust, the code in Python uses much more electricity to achieve the same goal. And most of ML stuff that we do is written in Python. So there are places for improvements. The same goes for like the hardware that we utilize and so on. So there are a lot of places where we can fix what we do. Also the growth in the energy coming from like solar, wind and water sources and nuclear energy growth. That's something that will help us to circumvent it. Like, I mean, I'm hopeful for the future around the topics because I think that this is well enough known and understood that would in general, as humanity, we need to care about it. So, and there's enough of smart people on the planet to solve that.
No, that sounds like an interesting topic to discuss. With Sima, since we mentioned him, Maciek, there is one thing that you owe me from our last season. One topic that we always mentioned, but we never approached. AGIs. Do you think we can have an episode about AGIs?
We can have an episode about like futuristic predictions. We cannot have an episode about AGIs because they are not there yet.
Okay, well, I guess an episode about futuristic dreams or possible approaches is good enough. I will keep it short.
Yeah, we're going to figure out if robots dream about mechanical sheep. No, if you didn't read the book, okay, skip it then.
Yeah, it's like giving movie references to me. Thank you. I don't feel bad at all. No, no, not at all. Maciek, as usual, I'm going to keep our usual question. Do you have a thought for the AI of tomorrow?
Yes. I think that a thought for this episode and in general for 2024 would be to start very, very small. Don't try to figure out in like this whole big projects and like changing the world of building a new startup initiative, how we can start getting to know how ML models work, how LLMs work, and so on. If you think it's in a day by day job in your like to-do list or a note taking tool and that kind of places. And this is the easiest way to experiment. You don't need to learn how to run an LLM on your machine, what GPUs are and so on. Just use a simple AI powered applications or a copilot if you are a coder or something like that and start experimenting with it and seeing how much it improves your daily workflow and how beneficial it is. And then start from there your exploration.
Fair enough. I think from this episode on, I'll also start sharing my own thoughts about of AI, about the AI of tomorrow. And I think I'll start this season with the thought that I shared in the past, that the future of AI is open source. So AI of tomorrow is going to be open source as well. And we see a tremendous growth on open source approaches across different layers of an AI project. So if you want to get started with AI, don't hesitate to use and contribute to open source projects. And thank you, Maciek, for your time. Thank you, everyone, for listening as well. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe. Give us your feedback as well. This was Ubuntu AI, and your AI journey stops here for now. We will meet in 2 weeks with a new episode. In the meantime, follow more articles from us on Medium. See you soon.
Bye.